following is a teaching from Irving Bible Church. For more information on how you can join us on a Sunday or take your next step, visit irvingbible.org.
The scripture reading today is from Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
We are in the final week of our Finding Freedom sermon series. We've been walking through the book of Galatians, talking about what it means for us to find and to live in the freedom that Christ has brought us. And part of that, we said, is recognizing that we have to come to the end of ourselves, that we only find freedom when we're able to come to that place where we can say, I am not enough. That I need a power from outside of me, a strength from outside of me. I need the power, the strength of the Holy Spirit. That I am not enough, that I need the Spirit of God. I need to, as Andy talked about last week, walk by the Spirit. Walking in dependence upon the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. But as we come to the end of this series, what we find is that there's more to it than that. You see, I don't just need the Holy Spirit. I need you. We need each other. What Paul says here at the end, in the closing chapter of Galatians, is that finding freedom involves our finding freedom together. I love the way that Tara Beth Leach captures this very simply in her book Embolden. She says, I need you. You need me. We need you. And you need us. I need you, you need me, we need you, and you need us. That in some sense, my life is impoverished if you're not a part of it. And I hope that you could be able to say the same thing about me. But we, this community, needs you, the contribution that you have to make to this body. We need you, and you need us. If we are to find freedom, we will only find freedom as we find freedom together. And what we see in this passage that we're about to look at this morning is this brilliant teaching on Christian community, this brilliant interplay. What Paul indicates here is that Christian community, walking by the Spirit together in community, is this dynamic interplay between mutual dependence and personal responsibility. A dynamic interplay between mutual dependence, leaning on each other, and personal responsibility. In fact, what we'll find as we walk through these 10 verses together is that if mutual dependence was A and personal responsibility was B, what Paul does here is A, B, A, B, A, B, A. Back and forth between mutual dependence and personal responsibility. Let's take a look. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Paul says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Right here at the very beginning, we see A and B together, right? That we're to restore one another, and yet we're to watch ourselves. Mutual dependence, personal responsibility. Paul starts out with the words brothers and sisters, and we so quickly read past those words as though they're just sort of almost throwaway words. And yet, I believe that this word adelphoi, the Greek word, it's a single word that encompasses both brothers and sisters. And I believe that this word bears a lot of freight in the New Testament. 220 times the church is referred to as brothers and sisters. Compared to the word Christian that only gets used a measly 3 times. The primary way that the New Testament talks about our relationship is the relationship of family. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul says, if you see a brother or sister, they're caught in sin. Right? You're to restore them. You know, we've talked about before the reality that God hates sin because he loves you. And God knows that your sin brings death in your life. And God hates sin because he loves you. And so he wants to restore you. And part of the way in which that restoration is meant to happen in the context of Christian community is that those who are spiritually mature should watch for those who are struggling and seek to restore them. Notice the word that it doesn't say. It doesn't say confront them or rebuke them or chastise them. Right? Although restoration sometimes does involve confronting and rebuking, but the goal is not to prove yourself right. The goal isn't to put the other person in their place. The goal is restoration, because God wants restoration for those of us who wander from his good intention for us. God hates sin because he loves us. He wants our restoration. And so here Paul calls on the spiritually mature, those who are walking by the Spirit in conjunction with what Andy talked about last week, that we are to restore others. And notice the way in which Paul says it. He says to restore gently. Literally, it says in the spirit of gentleness, or maybe a better translation would actually be in the gentleness of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is gentle with us. And Paul says that we who are spiritual mature, walking in the Spirit, are to restore a fallen brother or sister with the same kind of gentleness, the gentleness of the Spirit. But then Paul goes from this mutual dependence to personal responsibility, and he says, but watch yourself, lest you find yourself falling. And it may be that what Paul has in mind here is you got to watch yourself, because if you get into a relationship with somebody who's caught in sin, that you could actually be pulled into their sin. But I think part of what Paul is getting at here is that sometimes what happens is that the most vulnerable people are those who don't think they're vulnerable. The people who think they're spiritually mature, and so my job is to help somebody else, can actually find themselves in a position of self-righteousness. And that's a place of vulnerability. Watch yourself, Paul says. The beloved Dallas Seminary professor, Prof. Howard Hendricks, a mentor to me and so many others, did a study a number of years ago, a study of 246 men in full-time ministry who had gotten involved in moral failure over a 2-year period of time. So he did interviews with these 246 leaders, Christian leaders, who had fallen morally. And he found 4 common characteristics of each and every one of them. One is they had no personal accountability in their life, right? Nobody that they were doing mutual dependence with that was really asking them the hard questions. Second, they had no personal prayer life. They may have prayed in public, but their private prayer life had shriveled up. Third, they had no personal time in the scriptures. They studied the scriptures to prepare messages, but they didn't spend any time in the word of God for themselves. And then the final one, all 246 of them said, I thought it would never happen to me. And the most vulnerable are those who don't see themselves as vulnerable. In another context, the Apostle Paul says, let he who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. So Paul says, restore one another in the gentleness of the Spirit, but watch yourself. And then he goes back to mutual dependence. Look at verse 2. He says, carry each other's burdens and this way fulfill the law of Christ. Now, this is interesting because throughout this book, Paul has been talking about freedom, freedom from the law. We're free from the law. But he's talked all along about the law of Moses, the law of the Old Testament. And we've been set free from the burden of the law of Moses. But now he introduces a new law, the law of Christ. But what is the law of Christ? Love. The law of Christ is the law of love. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you." This is the essence of the law of Christ, the call to love. What does love require of me? And what Paul says here is, this is what it looks like. You carry each other's burdens. This life is filled with burdens. I mean, can I get an amen on that? Right? We may not be much of an amening church, but can I get an amen on that? This life is filled with burdens. And what Paul says is that when the concern of others becomes your concern, that's when you're fulfilling the law of Christ. When the concerns of other people become your concerns, that's when you are fulfilling the law of Christ. I thought about this a lot over the course of the last couple of weeks as we've seen kind of what's transpiring with our friends that are of the Asian American and Pacific Islander community. Some even here within our community at IBC. And just the pain, the fear that many are feeling that over the course of the last year, we've seen increase in bigotry and violence aimed at Asian American and Pacific Islander people. And of course, then the grief that comes with the tragedy that happened in the shooting in Atlanta last week. When the concerns of other people become your concerns, then you're fulfilling the law of Christ. This life is filled with all kinds of burdens. But may we be people who bear one another's burdens well. And then Paul goes back, right? Mutual dependence, then back to personal responsibility. Verse 3. If anyone thinks they're something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to anyone else. For each one should carry their own load. It's interesting here. Paul says, did you catch that? He said, each one should test their own actions. Paul is calling for self-examination. Carry one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ, but watch yourself. Right? In the immortal words of the great poet Ice Cube, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Right? He's calling for a place of self-examination. I love the way that Eugene Peterson captures this in The Message. In verse 4, he says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work that you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. We've all got some work to do. And we need to be engaged in the process of self-examination. I've been working with a ministry coach, somebody that's just kind of walking alongside me, somebody I can process with. And a lot of the work that we've been doing so far is about self-examination. And he's actually given me some tools that I think are really helpful. The idea with this self-examination process is just recognizing that we all have these core questions in our lives. And those core questions are, will I survive? Am I acceptable? Am I competent or am I in control? And that from the stories that we've lived, from the way in which we've been formed from our childhood on, we all gravitate typically to one of those core questions. And we find ourselves the most anxious, the most reactive, the most fearful, the most vulnerable to temptation when that core question gets tweaked, right? When we find ourselves threatened in one of those ways, will I survive? Am I acceptable? Am I competent? Or am I in control? You may already know me well enough to know what my core question is. My core question is, am I acceptable? And it sounds pretty pathetic to say out loud, but that's just real. And that's part of what I'm working through, right? I come to this realization, I can do a whole lot better when people are mad at me than when they're disappointed in me. And yet there's an important sense in which disappointment comes with my job description. One well-known definition of leadership is disappointing people at a rate that they can absorb. And if my inbox is any indication, I've been successful at that over the course of the last year, right? It's just real. I have this deep desire for acceptance. And I love you, so I never want to disappoint you. And yet, you know who I don't want to disappoint even more? It's God. And my problem comes when people are big and God is small. All of us have a core question. Will I survive? Am I going to be okay? Am I acceptable, accepted? Am I competent? Or am I in control? I suggest it would do you a lot of good to wrestle with which one of those questions may be your core question. Because Paul says that we need to examine ourselves so that we can see when we're most prone to anxiety. We can see when we're most reactive. We can know when we're most vulnerable to temptation, understanding what's going on in our lives below the surface. So, because very often we all tend to live surface level lives. And Paul calls us to go beneath the surface and examine ourselves. And it's interesting though in this verse, because at the end he says, for each should carry their own load. And that's strange. Isn't that a contradiction to what he said back in verse 2? Bear one another's burdens, but each one should carry their own load. And yet it's important to recognize Paul uses two different words there. One is burdens. That's the hardships of life. And we've already established that life is full of burdens. The other is responsibility. That we're to bear one another's burdens, hardships, difficulties, but we're each to fulfill the responsibility that God has called us to, the part that we are called to play. And then Paul flips back to mutual dependence. Verse 6, nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. This means pay your pastor. So the ushers are going to be in the aisles passing the baskets. We're going to take a love offering this morning, right? No, just kidding. Love offering was a thing when I was growing up as a kid. I always wanted to receive a love offering, but we're not going to do that today. I remember being invited to speak at a gathering a few years ago. And the guy that invited me to speak said that they would give me an honorarium. He said, but you need to know, they're high on honor and low on rarium. But you guys are not like that, right? You guys take really good care of me and our staff team. You're so incredibly generous, so incredibly faithful. You take good care of us. And I just want to say on behalf of our entire staff, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are fulfilling the teaching of Scripture. And this is part of what it looks like for us in Christian community to live in mutual dependence. And then Paul shifts back again, right? He goes back to personal responsibility. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. All right, simple principle. You reap what you sow. If you want to sow potatoes, what do you plant? This is the interactive portion of the sermon, right? You want to sow potatoes, what do you plant? Potatoes. You want to sow carrots, what do you plant? You want to sow lima beans, what do you plant? Right? The answer is nothing. Nobody wants lima beans, right? Lima beans are gross, slimy. Oh, anyway, you get the idea though, right? You reap what you sow. And Paul's just talked about this metaphor of the fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit produces in our lives. These virtues, these established dispositions of character, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul says, you want that? You want your life to be characterized by a disposition of love? Act lovingly and watch the Spirit make you a more loving person. You want your life to be characterized by joy? Be grateful for the things in your life that bring you joy and watch God make you a more joyful person. You reap what you sow. But he says this is also true with regard to the flesh, that outlook oriented toward the self, the incurvature of the soul. And Paul says if you continue to live a self-consumed life, yourself will consume you. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy what we have together when you live turned in upon yourself. And so he says, what we got to do is we got to, as hard as it sometimes is, turn out from ourselves towards God and other people. And that's where he brings it, the final A, the final mutual dependence, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Don't become weary. Don't give up. Bear one another's burdens and look for opportunity to serve people, to serve all people, and especially your brothers and sisters in Christ. At IBC, we are a church that's dedicated to serving the city and serving the body. And I believe there's a call of God on every one of us, and that call looks different for each of us. It manifests itself in different ways, but we're all called to serve the body and serve the city. And you heard early in the service our appeal to you. You saw that video, right? This appeal for people to step up and to commit to serving this body. Live in freedom. Serve in love. Guys, it takes a whole lot of people to make church happen at IBC. And especially in these days as we're moving back towards opening our building and having two services, having in-person children's ministry, we need people to step up and to do exactly what the Apostle Paul says, as you have opportunity, let's do good to all, especially the family of faith. Guys, this last year has been brutal. It's been brutal for all of us in many different ways. That we have found ourselves isolated, that everything has been so polarized and politicized, and it's pulled at the unity of Christian communities across the country. I get so many pastor friends that have just been beat up over the course of the last year. So many churches that are just, they find themselves in this place of struggle, and strife, and disconnection. The last year has made it easy for us to feel disconnected. Hard for us to feel that connection. And that feeling of isolation and disconnection has been easy, but painful. And I read these words from a pastor up in the Pacific Northwest, John Mark Comer, that to me just says something really powerful and profound that the church in North America needs to hear and the church at Irving Bible Church needs to hear. He says this. He says, stay with your church, especially your closest siblings in the family of God. I love this. Live in a thick web of interdependent relationships. Quietly defy the individualism that is wreaking havoc across the West. Surrender your autonomy to love. Place yourself in the constraint of community, for it is there that we are set free. Give up your preferences for the sake of others. Risk vulnerability. We will get hurt, and we will hurt in return. That's part of facing grace. Our greatest wounds come from relationships, but so does our deepest healing. The risk is worth it. Friends, if we're to find freedom, we will only find freedom as we find freedom together. In the dynamic interplay between personal responsibility and mutual dependence, I need you. You need me. We need you. You need us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this word from your word, for this word from the Apostle Paul. I've marveled at the brilliance of Paul's teaching all week long. This back and forth between mutual dependence and personal responsibility. And it's there in that dynamic interplay between the two that we find a deep sense of connection. We grow in finding freedom. And Lord, I pray for all of us who are here that today would be a day that we would just rededicate ourselves to each other. Rededicate ourselves to looking for opportunities that we have to serve everyone and especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, there's good days ahead, exciting things that lie on our near horizon. May we rally together and pursue all that you have for us, all that you are calling us to. And we thank you for the reality that we can find freedom together through Jesus Christ. And we pray all of this in his name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Irving Bible Church. For more information on how to join us on a Sunday or take your next step, visit irvingbible.org.